On the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. You never know what you're going to hear on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. I'm Chris and I'm Rob. We are the dynamic duo of Talk in the Queen City, and that was Bobby Darin singing an old song for us. 749-1444 is the phone number here at the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. 749-1444. To schedule an appointment at any Hawksworth 7 neighborhood donor centers, call 451-0910, 451-0910. This is a good chance to see if all you UK fans out there really do bleed in blue.
I didn't finish it yet, Jim.
So if you're
days
a UK
and hours
fan,
vary. For information about organizing corporate drives, call 558-1280, 558-1280. If you want to do a corporate thing, 451-0910. If you want to do the individual thing.
I've heard that sometimes those UC Bearcats show fans show up and they bleed red and black.
All I know is Miami got beat.
By
UC.
UC, yeah.
But no one on Miami has the same tattoo on their arm that Pamela Anderson Lee has on her arm. Like that big blonde guy for UC has the same tattoo that Pamela Anderson. I don't know who got it first.
Well, what's it a
but
tattoo
I'm just,
of?
It's like barbed wire going around their arm. That's pretty
well,
original.
A lot of people got
I
that.
I know. How
stupid
but the
tattoo.
I know.
You know, if I could go get a tattoo right now, and if I had the time and the druthers and was drunk enough, I'd go get tattooed a big pair of long johns on my chest. When I was a kid, I never did have a chest of drawers.
I was going to bite. I was just going to let you hang out there for a little while.
Okay.
I was going to say something.
Hey, let's talk about cops. You want to talk about cops?
Let me do this first.
What?
WAIF, Cincinnati.
Fat cops. Let's talk about fat cops. A federal appeals court said on Monday, that was yesterday, that the Ohio State Highway Patrol, the dogs that they are, may in fact set weight limits for their troopers. No more donuts, boys. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit upheld a Cleveland-based federal judge who is a hero to me, who ruled in favor of the patrol in a 1992 case. That year, the patrol started a fitness program that established weight limits for donut-eating troopers. 76 officers that year who were overweight or could not meet the fitness standards did sue the state of Ohio, arguing that discrimination under the Americans with Disabilities Act and Rehabilitation Act. However, I don't want any cops in my neighborhood who are disabled. I don't want any blind cops. I don't want any deaf cops in my neighborhood. I don't want any retarded cops, and I don't want any fat piggy donut eating cops in my neighborhood. Somebody comes up and kicks me in the groin and steals my car and robs my house and does all kind of nasty stuff to me, and then I call the cops and they send Porky the Pig over, you know, with a cup of coffee in one hand, or probably actually, like, you know, Jolt Cola, and in the other hand he's got, you know, a Krilla or something with jelly in the middle of it. I'm like,
what?
Go get that guy.
Ba-dum,
ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-dum. No, it ain't gonna cut it with me. You know, if you cop people are gonna be all self-righteous and crap, saying that you guys should be enforcing these laws that our United States has passed, if you guys want to be the ones enforcing laws, then I say be in shape, dude. Go to school. Go to freaking boot camp or something. And if you don't like, if the people don't like it, we're going to privatize the police. The people will vote, and our city councils will start privatizing police forces. It's been done before, just not very successfully, because privatizing them does invite a little bit of graft and corruption. However, if you guys are going to be fat and stupid, then we will go to privatizing the police force. You got me?
It's all yours, Rob. I'm done.
Heavy, man.
I'm done. It's all yours.
That's really heavy, dude. That's
and by the way, if that little punk on the bicycle that gave me that ticket for running the stop sign 3 days before Christmas is out there, you're a punk, too.
What'd you do? What was this? I didn't
it
hear about
this. It was downtown,
this.
And the traffic was really heavy because all the traffic was being rerouted because there was some construction down
I
on 4th Street.
Well, what was
so they were
on?
Rerouted. So I'm up there in front of McDonald's, and they got that, like, crosswalk in the middle of the street, and it was green. It was green.
That's
it was
idiotic.
Green. It had not even turned yellow yet, and I went through it, and a car behind me went through it. And then this little punk on his little 10-speed bicycle comes cruising up the street in his little blue outfit, right? He was in good shape, though. He wasn't fat, because you can't put a fat boy on those bicycles. And he catches up with me, because then there was a stoplight at that next intersection. If I was running stoplights, I'd run more than one, trust me. But I came to the next stoplight, and I stopped. I went around the corner, and I stopped again. Then the little punk on the bicycle came up to me and gave me a ticket for running a stop sign that I never ran.
What is up with all the lights downtown? They have lights in the middle of the blocks downtown. They're doing construction all over. You can't use half the street. And they wonder why people don't want to come to downtown Cincinnati. First of all,
Because of Gestapo down there.
You got a light every 20 feet in downtown Cincinnati. You got lights at crosswalks where nobody crosses. Right in the middle of a stinking block. Let people go to the end of a block.
Whoa. Cross. Stop. Listen. What do you hear?
Huh?
There, that's better. Continue.
I'm saying no one wants to stop every 3 feet, which you have to do in downtown Cincinnati. And I'll say another thing, though, about fat cops. As long as they can shoot straight, it doesn't really matter how fat they are. The thing is, being shot in the back is kind of a harsh way to stop somebody. You know, say the kid stole an apple. A young, healthy cop could catch up to the kid, bulldog the kid, Irish whip him into the Fritos,
belt him around about the ears,
and beat him about the head and shoulders with his billy club or flashlight for 10 or 15 minutes, cauliflower his ears, break his nose, and fatten his lip like a normal cop would. But if you have some big, huge Cruella-eating cop, all he's going to do is put a slug in the guy's kidney, which is kind of harsh for stealing an apple. So it's depending on however you want to look at it. If you're one of these guys that's like a Dirty Harry type that says, shoot first, ask questions later, then you're probably all in favor of big, giant, fat, slobbery cops because they have to shoot people. They can't catch them. But if you think that people should just be caught, beat up by the cops, and then taken to trial, then you probably want young, virile, hard-bodied cops. But speaking of cops on bikes, have you seen that Thunder Paradise, Thunder Alley, Blue Thunder show, Chris? It's on USA Network. It's gorgeous cops on bikes. Oh, my gosh. Oh, good God. Don't get me started.
I think I missed that one.
It's an incredible show.
Wish I hadn't missed it, though.
But, you know, the cops are pretty much a necessary evil in a society.
Are they, though? Are they really? Even fat ones?
I love it when people say that.
What?
Are they?
Are they?
Are they really?
Are they really?
Every time you
really?
Say something.
Really?
Are they really? Mm. But cops are a necessary evil. Yes, they are really. And another necessary evil that this country has is the military.
What?
Now, I'm not anti-military.
You're a former member of the military, aren't you?
Let me tell you something. Most people would agree with this. In order for a democracy like America to survive and to thrive, we have to have a certain community within that democracy that is anything but democratic. We call that community the military. This part of the society is made up of warriors, is made up of fighters, is made up of knuckle-dragging, mouth-breathing, bloodthirsty, mindless, drone-punk animals. They're warriors. They're not necessarily great citizens. They're not necessarily wonderful scholars. They're warriors. They're the spear carriers. They're the ones that's going to go out and fight. They're the ones that are going to go get shot at. They're the ones that are going to shoot other people.
They're Hawkeye and BJ.
And in this country, they volunteered for that job. Let's not make them out to be anything more than they are. Every society has a certain group in that society that are people who like to kick ass. And they want to go out and they want to shoot people. They want, and maybe they want to hurt people. And they want to.
You know, if they want to do that, I say let's let them do it, but let's make sure that their guns are pointed away from me.
They can do that. That's fine. We need them. Do their job. Great. It's great that we have these sort of bloodthirsty savages who just want to protect our shores. We need them. We need the military. But let's not build them up into being some kind of the greatest Americans, and that they're heroes, and that they're the type of individuals that our youngsters should look up to today. Because you look at what's going on in the Navy, you look at what's going on in the Citadel, and I think it's becoming very, very, very evident something that this country hates to admit, and that is that military people are pretty stupid, a lot of them, and even the ones that rise to the top usually aren't the most intellectually blessed people in the world. The reason why they rose to the top in the military is because they're good at kissing ass, They're good cookie-cutter people, and nowadays, they're great at the political thing. We need warriors, but warriors don't necessarily make wonderful citizens. Warriors are not always good all-around people. They may be great at fighting. They may be great at keeping a country free. But does that mean that they're good at treating their fellow female soldiers with the utmost respect? Sometimes not. So let's quit making heroes out of everybody who's just doing what nature programmed them to do. Program them to join some sort of military force and learn how to shoot and kill and maim and murder and commit all kinds of mayhem in order to keep his country free, along with the real hero, someone that actually makes the country better. Like, did you hear about the story in the Navy?
No, tell me about the story in the Navy.
You can sail the seven seas.
Song's about being gay.
Whatever.
Okay, her name's Jennifer Della Barba. She's 22 years old. She's at the Naval Academy. Back in April, two classmates thought they saw her in her dormitory bed with her boyfriend. Which is against policy. You can't do that at the Naval Academy. But you know what?
What?
Her classmates were wrong. Della was miles away on a bus. What they saw was a bunch of stuffed animals on her bed.
No.
You think that's the end of the story?
Was any of them Garfield?
Oh, I hope not. I'm probably annoyed.
Wait. Let's backtrack a minute. You cannot have sex in your bed in the Army, but you can have in the Navy, but you can have stuffed animals in your bed in the Navy?
Naval Academy.
In the Naval Academy, you can have stuffed animals?
Hey, when I was in the Army, I had a stuffed animal in my bed.
Whatever.
I had a duck wearing sunglasses.
Oh, boy.
That was a stud.
What was his name?
His name was Donald. It was Donald Duck. It was Donald Duck the stud. Anyway, so they were asking her, but well, if you weren't there, what were you doing? She said, it was a Saturday. I just had a knee operation, so I went to see a doctor. She said, I went to see the doctor. Some people say that she said, I went and saw a doctor. She did not actually see a doctor because the doctor was not in because it was Saturday. Now they're going to say, well, she lied. She said she actually saw a doctor. And so, therefore, she lied. She should be kicked out of the Naval Academy. She says, I don't really remember exactly what I said. And so, because of this, they're holding her back. They're not going to let her graduate. And the Navy gets another black eye. And the whole military system, you know, they're a necessary, putrid part of society. Go ahead, Kevin, what's going on?
Yeah, hi, how you guys doing?
Hey, we're doing okay, how are you?
I'd just like to say I like your show.
Well, we like your call so far.
Yeah. I don't necessarily agree with your opinion on military, but I agree that when I was in the military, there were a lot of knuckle-dragging, bloodthirsty idiots.
What was your rank and everything?
I was an E3 in the Navy.
Really?
Yeah.
Got any tattoos?
Yeah, I do, matter of fact.
It's not barbed wire going around your arm, is it?
No, it's not. It's an auk and a wolf.
Okay, cool. Good. It's not a Hanna-Barbera character, is it?
No.
It's not an advertising icon, is it?
Definitely not.
Okay.
I saw a guy tonight in a bar. Remember Domino's Pizza used to have the Noid? The goofy little thing, whatever
Gremlin
it is.
Type deal?
The guy had that tattooed on his arm. I'm like, what? What?
That's almost as good as the bird from the Thrush Mufflers.
Whatever. So continue with your opinion there, Kevin.
I don't know. I'd just like to say that there were a lot of guys in the military that, you know, when I was there, I worked hard. I just tried to do the best job I could. Because when I went in, I had I was under the opinion from my grandfather and from my father that you went in and you learned honor and hard work and discipline. And I got there and I learned that things can be quite different sometimes and that you learn a lot of things you didn't expect to learn. You meet a lot of people you didn't expect to meet, people that are maybe below subpar standards of society, maybe put it that way.
Well, especially, you know, today they're always selling you that we have the most well-trained, the most highly educated armed services in the history of the world.
Hey, let me ask you guys something.
Hold on a second. And it just wigs you out to think, my God, who in the hell were the cretins and the dregs of society that were in the Army in, say, the 1940s, post-World War II, or into the 1920s? Who was in the Army then? They had to be.
Have you seen those recent TV commercials, maybe the past year or two, for the Marines that look like something out of out of like Dungeons and Dragons
and playing chess?
What's up with that?
They're not going to make chessboard and a guy hits the knight.
I mean, are you joining the Marines or are you joining the Knights of the Holy Round Table? I mean, what's going on? I mean, they're not. There's laws in advertising about advertising and representing your product. You know what I'm saying? You can't say you're the best if you haven't been proven the best, and you can't sell something that doesn't exist. I mean, if I join the Marines, do I get to go kill a dragon, and then do I get to run away with a princess, or what?
I don't know. I think that in the military, they ought to raise the standards to get into the military in the first place, because I think
then nobody would join.
Yeah, probably.
It's like raising the standards for cops, all right? If they raised the standards for cops, you wouldn't have any more cops. What they need to do is raise the amount of money that they pay a cop and the moral standards that it takes to become one. In other words, let's get rid of the Nimrods and the bullies and the donut eaters. And let's get the people who would otherwise maybe become a doctor or a lawyer might also want to become a cop.
Well, hell, I agree with you.
Or a teacher.
You're weird.
You know? And then let those Nimrods go out and be garbage collectors. They should be garbage collectors, not police officers, most of them.
I agree with you.
Kevin, I don't know how the Navy was, but I'll tell you, from my Army experience, it seemed to me that the people who rose to the top not necessarily were the cream, but were the people who were the best political players, the guys that knew how to kiss butt the best, and also did all the little goofy things. You could have a guy that wasn't that great at his job, but if he looked terrific in his uniform, that guy was looked upon as being the better soldier than someone who busted their ass and thus got their uniform dirty.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all they cared about. They would just go see, you know, I knew some guys that weren't the neatest people in the world. And
they busted their ass.
But they worked very hard, and they were always the last one to leave and the first one to get to work. And they were the guys that not only did their work but would help everybody else. But because maybe they were dirty or their boots wasn't the most shiny, they were looked upon as being kind of misfits, outcast, dirtballs, where you'd have some incompetent, lazy guy, but he looked damn good in his uniform. That guy would shoot right up the ranks.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't know. I think that, I mean, I don't know what how to necessarily get the best people into the military, but I definitely think that we need a military. We need a police force. And I think we should definitely invest more money into you know, getting better people and having better services for our country. I mean, we pay for this, and we ought to have a better service for it. I think there's a lot of waste in the military, and I'm glad, you know, I was in the military, and I'm glad Clinton is doing a lot about it to cut military spending, because there's a lot of waste.
Yeah, I think they could quit giving so much money to GE and Lockheed and Boeing, and give more money to the troops and the soldiers and sailors.
I agree with you. I think they would definitely see results.
Have you heard of the Colonel David Hackworth? Writes for Newsweek. Recently wrote a book.
No, I didn't.
He has an idea to streamline the Navy, or streamline all of the military. Get rid of two armed services. Combine the Army and the Air Force, and combine the Navy and the Marines.
It's an excellent idea, I think.
And he thinks it would be, because there's too much redundancy in the armed services. You have Army units and Marine units and Navy units all trained to do the same thing. And but because of the politics of it all, because you'll have some congressman who's like, well, I was a Marine, damn it, I was a Marine in Vietnam, and we're never going to get rid of the Marines, you know, so okay, we'll call the new service the Marines, and we'll get rid of the Navy. They don't have some, you know, senator, well, I was in the Navy, damn it, we're not going to get rid of the Navy.
I agree. I mean, people go in there, and you go in there, I think a lot of guys, or people in general, women now too, go in there with, you know, I think with the initial conception that it's going to be, you know, a hard challenge, and they get there and they find out it's not. And I think, you know, I think that it initiates laziness or just overall, just, I don't know, pretty much bums a lot of times. I think I totally agree with you. Streamline it and get the best people we can. And I think they, like you said, they get a lot better results out of it. There's a lot of people I know that, you know, just they would get married just to get extra money.
Oh, yeah.
To get military housing or some crap like that. You know, and I'm looking at these people, I'm like, for God's sake, you know, why, you know, did you join just to, you know, make money, or did you join to actually maybe better yourself in some way or another, you know, to learn discipline or something like that? Why did you join in the first place?
Well, you know, the military stresses discipline. They don't stress creativity.
Yeah.
So the people who rise to the top are the ones who have an extremely disciplined personality in mind, not necessarily an extremely creative or bright or original type mind. And I know guys, too, that also got married or whatever because they thought they'd get extra money. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. But they would do it.
All right. Well, I appreciate you guys. Let me talk.
Thanks a lot for calling, Kevin.
Yeah, thank you.
Anytime, Kevin. Anytime you want to talk, let it out, and you need a friend or a pal or a buddy, you give us a call.
Thanks.
Okay?
Thanks.
Bye-bye. 749-1444 is the phone number. WAIF-FM reminds you to buy products made from recycled materials. You need a free brochure? Call 1-800-CALL-EDF. 1-800-CALL-EDF. The next time you're shopping, look for products that say, made from recycled materials, and buy them.
What if it says made in Taiwan? Good tonight. Ooh, Rob's got a frog in his throat. Did you get rid of it? Hey, you know, there's this new country band that's just leaping its way up the country charts, and you know what they're called?
They're called
BR549.
They were on Carson tonight, I think, or Leno or something.
It's BR here. Let's start that over. Here we go. Politics. Here with some comments on Boss Hog Politics is my favorite co-host and the only one I've got, Rob.
This is according to the USA
Today. While you talk about Boss Hog Politics, I'm just going to sit here and sing.
The campaigns devoted to an Everglades penny per pound sugar tax spent about $7 for every vote cast last fall, setting the record for campaign expenditures.
Oh, boy.
Critics won 55% of the vote after outspending supporters, $4.43 to $2.59. $7 is spent on every vote. You want to talk about Boss Hog Politics? You want to talk about money in politics? You know, this whole sugar issue is just so hot. You know, the reason why we keep up the embargo on Cuba is because of the sugar farmers in Florida. Because they know if we start importing Cuban sugar, the bottom will fall out of their sugar.
What are they going to do when Castro dies then? Start buying Cuban sugar?
I don't know. They're probably going to send every good doctor in the world to keep Castro alive so the embargo stays on. Because as soon as Castro dies, or if we open normal relationships with Cuba, Good gosh almighty. You know, our pot might be cheaper. Our candy bars might be cheaper. Everything might get cheaper. The only reason why our candy bars and stuff cost so much is because these artificially inflated sugar prices. And the money is just going to the rich. They don't pay their people very well. They get these, like, you know, Haitian refugees to work in the sugar fields in Florida, and they don't pay them very well at all. So it's not like, you know, I don't mind paying stuff. I don't mind paying a little bit more if I know that the people who produce the good or service I'm buying are being treated well and being paid well. I don't like paying high prices for, like, Nike shoes when you know the people who produce those shoes aren't being paid squat. But boss hog politics keep sugar prices high in America. I'm jumping off my soapbox.
Chris and Rob, Late Night Talk Show, 749-1444 is the phone number. If you want to get in on this and much more, we have much more ground to cover in a remaining 25 minutes. It's not enough time to contain all of Chris and Rob's wit, wisdom, and insecurities, but if you stay tuned, the B-Boys Underground will be on it too, and they'll be rapping and scratching you till dawn.
Everyone knows after-school programs help city kids learn and grow, but there aren't enough programs in city neighborhoods.
There could be more.
Join the Urban League. The Urban League. To expand after-school programs, call toll-free 1-800-326-YOUTH. 1-800-326-YOUTH. Because it's time to beat the street.
Here, try that guy, will you?
749-1444 is phone number at the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
You know what might be one of the most extravagant in-theater promotions ever inside of your movie theater is this new Steven Spielberg dinosaur movie's coming out. He's doing a sequel to Jurassic Park, and just for the trailers, that they're going to show you coming attractions, many, many theaters across the country are adding flashing strobe lights to simulate lightning. Check it out, strobe lights in theaters.
They should start putting nudie girls in there, though. Published.
They should bring back Smell-O-Vision. Remember back in the 70s when Smell-O-Vision came out? I think Andy Warhol made a couple of movies in Smell-O-Vision.
I remember John Waters made a movie and you're supposed to scratch and sniff like a certain scene.
One of those guys was either Andy Warhol or John Waters, or one of those guys made a movie in Smell-O-Vision. Smell-O-Vision. You could smell parts of it. Like, they'd hold up dead fish and then backstage they'd have fans and stuff and they would blow these scents out to you. Pretty gross.
I don't remember that.
Perfumes and dead fish and stuff like that.
I remember for Earthquake, they're supposed to have some theaters hooked up for the chairs to shake.
Oh, man. But they do that now at, like, Kings Island and places like that. They got those, like, those rides that really you're just, like, in a movie theater and the chairs shake a little bit, you know? Kind of silly.
That's heavy-duty stuff, baby.
I just think it's kind
of
silly.
Out of the mouths of babes, sometimes the things that we are to learn come from the least expected places. Wisdom comes forth and is heard each Friday. From Voices of Youth. Voices of Youth every Friday, 5 to 6 p.m. on WAIF Cincinnati.
You know, Friday night you can always catch a good speech by Farrakhan right here on Wave 2. I'm not exactly sure what time they usually run those, but at various times I'll tune on Friday nights. They're getting ready for the big Friday night party and listen to a little bit of Farrakhan. Farrakhan's great to get stoned to.
Gets you in the party mood, doesn't
he? Oh, yeah. Check it out. Fill up that old bong, put your thumb over the carburetor, turn Farrakhan on Wave on Friday night and start sucking. You know what I like most about Farrakhan? He hates the government almost as much as I do. Hey, Rob, you know what it's time for?
No, I don't.
Let's call another one of our favorite celebrities on Celebrity Answering Machines.
We're really shooting our wad on these things tonight, aren't we?
We must be.
Now it's time to join Chris and Rob in the wacky world of telephone harassment for Celebrity Answering Machines, where Chris and Rob call one of your favorite celebrities, and if no one is home, they leave a message on today's Celebrity Answering Machine. So sit back, relax, kick up your feet, and pop open a cold one as we join Chris and Rob for Celebrity Answering Machines.
We're calling Alan Thicke here on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Alan Thicke.
Who is Alan Thicke?
He was in Growing Pains.
Hello?
Hi, is Alan Thicke in, please?
You have the wrong number.
Is this 766-1812?
Alan Thicke?
Yes.
Who's this?
Alan Thicke, remember, star of Growing Pains?
Yes.
Also, he's on that new show now with, I don't know,
yes,
it's like
so
Hope and...
Who's this?
He was also one of the writers and directors of the classic comedy Fernwood Tonight.
Oh, really?
Now, who are
Martin
you?
Mullen and Fred.
Well, Lewis. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together we are the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. And we're calling from Cincinnati, Ohio, the Queen City of the Midwest.
The Blue Chip City. And we're looking for Alan Thicke, one of the most famous Canadian exports since Geddy Lee.
Oh, well, you have the wrong number.
Does Alan live there?
No, he doesn't.
Who's this?
You have the wrong number.
Does Alan?
I have someone on the other line.
Does Alan know that you've appropriated his identity?
Yeah, I think I
do. Are you like running around charging up stuff on his credit cards?
I wish.
Driving his cars?
I wish.
Could you tell us what's in Alan's thick fridge right now?
What's in his fridge?
Right. Do you live in his house? Are you watching his house?
What's in Alan Thicke's fridge? What kind of beer does he drink?
Who are you?
Are you a big Alan Thicke fan?
Yeah, right.
Do you get a lot of calls from Alan Thicke?
Oh, sure.
You see, the thing is, you know, you see him on Growing Pains and stuff, and you thought, what a dork. And
no, I really didn't watch that show.
It was terrible. And he sung the song, and it was awful. He had his own late-night talk show called Thicke of the Night, and it was painfully brutal. But he was also one of the geniuses behind that Martin Mull, Fred Willard classic, Fernwood Tonight. Remember that show?
Uh-huh.
That was a great show, wasn't it? But he was part of that. Now, it's like, how could somebody who did such great work in the beginning just absolutely go downhill that fast? These are the kind of questions we were going to ask Mr. Thicke.
Oh.
Do you think that's his...
You better go find the right number.
What, do you think that's his real name? Thicke?
Yeah, I do.
Do you know anybody named Thicke?
No.
Do you know anybody named Thin?
No.
How about Squat?
How about Skanky?
Where are you calling from?
Cincinnati, Ohio, the Queen City of the Midwest. Where are you? You in Los Angeles?
Yeah, more or less.
Right. Hollywood? Are you in Hollywood?
More or less.
Are you in the Valley?
More or less.
If you're not Alan Thicke, are you a big famous movie star?
I wish.
Are you Goldie Hawn?
No, I'm Demi Moore.
Oh, damn.
Hi, Demi.
Hi. Oh, yeah, it's pronounced Demi.
Yeah.
I forgot.
So how's Striptease are doing? Do you like? How is Burt Reynolds?
Burt Reynolds, oh, he was great.
How much hair does Burt Reynolds really have?
Nothing.
How much does your husband have?
He's got more than Burt Reynolds.
This isn't Demi Moore. I think it's a Sandra Bullock.
Yeah. This is Sandra Bullock, isn't it?
You're pulling our leg, aren't you, Sandy?
Yeah, Sandy.
Loved you with Jerry in that one movie, but we gotta let you go, Sandy.
You got Keanu on the other line? Is that who you're talking to?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, tell Kay we said hey, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye, Sandy.
We hope you've enjoyed today's episode of Celebrity Answering Machines. And make sure you tune in next time when Chris and Rob call another one of your favorite celebrities right here on the Chris and Rob Celebrity Answering Machine.
Yeah, make sure you do tune in next week because it'll be celebrities galore here on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show with Celebrity Answering Machines. It always is celebrities galore when you tune into the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, isn't it there, Rob?
One celebrity you'll probably never hear is Frank Robinson, the only guy to win the MVP in the National League and the American League.
That's right. Frank Robinson is not a friend of the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, but, you know, he's the only one.
Well, we kind of surprised Frank, and we ask him really stupid questions. I can understand why he doesn't like us. But
I want to pose a serious question to you here for a minute, a constitutional question.
I can tell because you put on your serious question music.
Well, just stupid drum beats, dude. Here's my question. It's about the Constitution, right? The right to die with dignity, doctor-assisted suicide, is it protected? Here, let's go back. Let's rewind here a little bit.
Yeah, right.
Judge, Supreme Court Justice Antonin, how do you pronounce that? Scalia?
Let's go with Scalia.
Scalia. I'll call him Scalia because he's like a lizard. Judge Scalia proclaimed that he found no legal right to die in the Constitution, and he's not about to create one. Our friends at the Libertarian Party, however, claim that the Ninth Amendment does protect doctor-assisted suicide, Jakevorkian et al., and that amendment, number 9, states, the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Now, my question, does the Ninth Amendment really apply to the right to die, doctor-assisted suicide, and all that, or not? It seems very broad to me. It seems like a broad stroke of the...
Well, that was the whole point, dude. They wanted... That's why... Oh, this is so complex.
That's why some of the founding fathers did not want a Bill of Rights. They did not want the amendments.
Because what? They thought they'd be too broad and people would start applying them to whatever?
No, because say George Mason of Virginia, who didn't sign the Constitution. He was at the convention, he didn't like it, he didn't sign it. He said, are we going to have to enumerate each and every right there is? Are we going to have to put in the Constitution that it's okay for a person to sleep on either their left side, their right side, back, or stomach? Or for fear that the government will someday outlaw sleeping on one side or the other? They were afraid they were going to have to enumerate each and everything that there never could be a law against. So, in order to assuage the fears of people like that, they made the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, particularly broad, and they put that in there, that bit about, unless we've outlawed it, or specifically mentioned it, you can take for granted that you can do it. Which is what the Ninth Amendment says. The enumeration of the Constitution of certain rights, free speech, assemblage, etc., shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people, meaning just because we didn't list it here, the right to die, that does not mean that it doesn't exist. That is to how I interpret that. You may have a different interpretation, but that's my interpretation of it.
So you say that the Ninth Amendment does protect the right to die?
The Ninth Amendment protects everything.
Everything? Does the Ninth Amendment protect my right to grow pot in my basement and sell it to the high school kids up the street?
Yes.
Okay. If you have any comments on these or any other topics mentioned on tonight's program, the phone number would be...
But not sell it to high school kids. Just
749-1444. No, man. The Ninth Amendment gives me the right to do anything I want. Anarchy. I will call it the Anarchist Amendment. 749-1444. Get in on this and help clear it up a little bit.
But it also says ensure domestic tranquility and provide for the common good. This would be a good time for you to break that little thing out. I know you don't want to move a record or anything.
Oh, you mean...
I know you have a pocket copy of the Constitution, but it would require you to move an album. You certainly don't want to move a Herb Alpert album to dig up your Constitution, do you? But that, to me, is what it's all about. That, to me, is what it means.
I think it's a home, actually.
Oh, good heavens. You can do whatever you want. The Ninth Amendment, just because it's not mentioned here, doesn't mean that the right does not exist. Now, that's the federal government. What about state governments? It's a whole different thing. It's hard. And the guy for the Libertarian Party says... This means that the Constitution does not have to specifically grant a right to die, that the right is retained by the people. That's kind of what I said. Mr. Scalia does not have to rummage around in the Constitution for an excuse to defend that right. Excuse me while I hit the microphone with my elbow.
Yeah, I think I left my pocket Constitution at home atop the toilet bowl, but I want to, you know, when I get home and finish what I... business I was conducting, then I'll finish reading it and then I'll bring it into next week's program.
And as you would expect, Dasbach, the little head of the Libertarian Party, he's the chairman,
Steve Dasbach,
believes that all this goes back to the individual. He says the power to decide how and when to die should reside solely with the individual patient, not with doctors, family members, and especially not with the government. The difference between a patient ending one's own life and a doctor, family member, or politician doing it for them is a difference between dignified suicide and criminal murder. That's a very firm distinction, not a slippery slope. So he's all for it, baby.
Get in on this. 749-1444. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show on WAIF. Right here. Little Judas Priest for you, brother. It's going out to the Spotted Owl and all the other headbangers. Get down with the priest and Bob Halford, as he was once called.
Many in my masking, driven him up, sought them in a from now, boys. Takes no mess in all in wrestling, as one of her pride enjoys. She's a classy, flashy, lassie, imitation sapphire shine. Two-faced liar, full of fire, but I know that flame has mine.
these guys aren't rocking. JP blowing some harp.
You know, back in the day, this was the best Judas Priest could do.
I'm electing electric eye!
Back in the day.
Man, they rocked. By the time Point of Entry rolled around, in British Steel, those two records kicked ass.
What's up? Anyway.
That was terrible, man.
Hey, listen, it's the Chris and Rob show. We got 749-1444 at the phone number. Phones have been slow tonight, but we know you love us. Tomorrow night, you can catch a show on this radio station called Art Damage. Let's get a little Art Damage music going. You can get a little Art Damage music going tomorrow night. Art Damage is a feast, they call it. A feast, like a festival, of manipulated sounds, sonic strangeness. Art Damage is the kind of show where they might go like this. That was rapping and scratching. Check it out tomorrow night here at 2 o'clock in the morning. Midnight until 2. At midnight until 2. 2 o'clock. Midnight until 2. And get damaged with Art Damage.
749-1444 is the phone number here at the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. And I tell you what, I think it's warming up a little bit out there. Hopefully the salt will start working and Chris's sidewalks will no longer be the treacherous.
Hey, wait. Hold on a minute. You hear that music?
Yeah, I do.
You know what that means?
What?
It's time for movie reviews with the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show movie critic, Scott Barlow. Hi, Scott.
Hi, guys.
How's it going, Scott Barlow?
It's all right.
I thought it was called Seeing Any Good Movies Lately.
Well,
now it's called
We're getting to that, because there's something, Scott, there's something I want to ask you.
Now it's called Movie Reviews.
Shut up, Rob. There's something I want to ask you, Scott.
It's pretty original.
Have you seen any good movies lately?
Yeah, I have, actually.
What have you seen lately, Scott?
Let's see. Tonight I went and saw Turbulence.
Turbulence? What's that?
That's the new big airplane disaster movie with Ray Liotta and Lauren Holly.
My girlfriend thinks Ray Liotta's hot.
Well, he's certainly vicious and scary.
Now who's Lauren Holly?
She's married to Jim Carrey. And
is she the redheaded chick from Picket Fences?
Yeah, that's her.
Okay, yeah, she's pretty hot, too.
She was in Dumb and Dumber.
So you got two really hot people in the movie.
Yeah, it's hot. It's boiling.
Is it hot?
And Ray Liotta's nasty. He's a strangling rapist kind of guy, and he takes control of the plane. And
you know, that the commercial I saw on TV looked incredibly dumb.
I didn't think it looked good either, but it's a quality action disaster kind of movie.
Okay.
Is it a date flick or a guy's flick?
It's a date flick because it's a guy battling a chick. You know, you might be able to work out some of your problems while you watch the movie. And the chick in the end, you know, kicks his ass. So you know, she.
So it's just like real life.
Yeah, you know.
Okay, Scott, have you seen any other good movies lately?
I saw The Funeral.
The Funeral is that new Christopher Walken gangster movie.
Yes.
But I understand it's not really as much about gangsters as it is about a dysfunctional family.
Well, it's very philosophical. They bring God into it. They question their existence. They're questioning their livelihood. They're killing people. They're chopping people's legs off. But it's good. Christopher Walken's twitching and sneering and Christopher Penn's actually real good in it.
He's a fat guy, right?
Yeah, he's Sean Penn's fat brother.
Okay.
But he's real good in it, and Benicio Del Toro's real good in it, and it's good.
The last Christopher Walken movie I saw was horrible. He played an angel gone bad.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that? What was that movie called?
The Prophecy.
Oh, that was horrid.
That was a piece of crap. But this is a quality film.
Okay. Let me ask you something. Is the funeral, because between you and me, I already saw the funeral myself. I went downtown and saw it the other night. Do you think that the funeral will someday be called one of Christopher Walken's best roles?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't think enough people are going to see it. It's a small-scale movie. It's not being released in a big way.
Well, who's directing it?
Abel Ferrara.
Who's he?
He made The Bad Lieutenant and...
Well, The Bad Lieutenant was a gritty, mean, dirty movie.
Well, the guy makes gritty, nasty, mean, ugly movies.
But if it came to Cincinnati, how small of a movie can it be?
Well, that's true. I guess it wouldn't even make it here if it were that small, but...
My question to you once again, then. If enough people see it, will Christopher Walken in The Funeral be one of Christopher Walken's best roles ever?
No.
Why not? What else has he done?
Because he does good work in it, but it's no different than anything else he's done. I mean, he does his Christopher Walken thing.
Well, just between us, then, there, Scott Barlow, movie critic, what are some of your favorite Christopher Walken roles from over the years?
The Dead Zone was a great one.
Didn't see that one.
Deer Hunter.
The King of New York?
Deer Hunter,
didn't
there you go.
Didn't see either of those two.
You saw The King of New York, didn't you?
Yeah.
Did you like that one?
That was an Abel Ferrara movie as well.
Oh,
that was a pretty good movie.
It was a gritty movie.
It was gritty and tough. I didn't see it, though. Go ahead.
Let's move on. We're talking to Scott Barlow. He's the movie critic at the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. What other movies have you seen lately?
I saw The People vs. Larry Flint.
Ooh, that's a very trendy movie.
Very trendy.
Well?
Overall, I liked it, but I think it's a bit of a whitewash.
They make Larry Flint look out to be like more of a hero than he really was. Really a sleazebag, wasn't he?
Well, they make him look pretty stupid, which is close to the truth. But they don't ever show you what's actually in that magazine, because if you've ever seen that magazine, it's repulsive. It's literally, it'll turn your stomach.
Are you talking about a particular issue or the magazine in general?
The magazine in general. I've seen maybe four or five issues.
Yeah.
Through my adult life.
The first three weren't enough for you to get the message.
No, well, you know, I was a kid when I saw the first three, so I was real into it. But then I grew up, and I saw it, and I thought, oh, this is really gross.
Now, what's the report? Now, the trial was he set up a fake ad about Jerry Falwell having sex for the first time, and it was in an outhouse with his mother, and he had to kick the family goat out of the outhouse.
Yeah. Well, Jerry Falwell sued him over that. And won. And then later
won again, and then it got overturned, right?
Yeah, then later on, Larry Flint sued him for, I can't remember what it was. I'm not sure how accurate the movie is as far as the case goes, because I don't know much about the case.
Well, was it a historically accurate movie, or was it a spoof?
Well, I just said I don't know. I don't know how accurate it is to the... It seems very accurate. I mean, the whole movie is basically this trial. And, I mean, it's not a real exciting movie. It's not as flashy as the previews make it seem, but it's entertaining and interesting to watch.
And what about Courtney?
Yeah, how's Courtney?
Was Courtney looking good?
It seems like she was born to do the role. I
naked?
Mean, I don't know.
Naked?
Yeah, she's naked.
Cool.
I don't know. She's pretty bony and skanky, though.
How's James?
She's a heroin addict,
how's
dude?
James Carville?
He plays Simon Lease. He's all right. He just rants and raves and does himself, basically, only as a crazy conservative.
Okay. What else have you seen?
I saw Palookaville.
Palookaville! That's another gangster movie that's showing down at the Repertory Cinemas.
Yeah, well, it's more like a wannabe kind of gangster movie. They want to be thieves, but they're just too darn incompetent to really pull it off.
Now, is this one worth the $5 or not?
Yeah, it's a nice movie. There's another movie that's basically the same thing called Bottle Rocket that's much better. Bottle Rocket's a really good movie, and I'd say rent that before you see Palooka.
How many of these damn gangster movies can you possibly sit
Scott Barlow is a gangster movie expert,
well, see,
and his favorite actor of all time is Robert De Niro.
There's a new trend. There's a new trend.
Good.
You had all the gangster movies and all the big badass movies, and now you have the trend of movies about goofballs who want to be gangsters but can't quite do it. So I think they're really wringing this one for as much as they possibly can get out of it.
Okay.
We're talking to Scott Barlow. He's the movie critic of the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Any good upcoming movies that we should keep our eyes out for? Leslie Nielsen as Mr. Magoo or anything like that?
No, I'm looking forward to Gridlock. That's opening soon.
And there's a new Woody Allen movie coming out soon, too, where he sings and dances.
Yeah, I don't know. People either love it or hate it. I just don't know.
You got a video pick for us?
What about Gridlock? What is Gridlock?
That's Tupac Shakur's last movie.
Ooh,
with Tim Roth.
Ooh.
I saw a preview for it tonight. It looks really good, but you never know.
Did he have a big role or what?
Yeah, he's the star, him and Tim Roth. Are...
Well, since he just recently was murdered, I'm sure that ticket sales will go through the roof.
Probably.
Okay,
probably...
real quick here, video pick, go.
Video pick, let me think. I didn't have one, but let me think. The Young Poisoner's Handbook.
What's that?
It's a true story about a kid in England who poisoned his family.
That's a foreign movie, isn't it?
Well, if you consider England foreign, I don't really.
Well,
they talk English.
England is not America, so it must be a foreign movie.
There ain't no subtitles in it.
Duh, okay. The Young Poisoner's Handbook. You recommend that movie. Is it funny or is it what? Is it serious?
It's darkly funny. Darkly comic, I think they'd call it.
Kind of like Eating Raoul, huh?
Well, I don't remember that one too well, but I guess.
Okay. Have you seen any good movies lately? We've been talking to our movie critic, Scott Barlow, on the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, and we hope that you get a chance to go out and catch a few flicks this weekend.
And I'm going to ask you guys, because I don't know, should I go sit through Evita just so I can call and tell you how it is or not?
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
We're not going to reimburse you for your ticket.
You don't have to reimburse me, but do you think I should do it?
If you skip it, we won't hold that one against you.
Hey, there's always a chance you'll cop a Woody, though.
Hey. I don't think she's nude, though.
Okay, forget it then.
Skip it.
There's no shower scene?
I don't think so. She's just singing and prancing.
What about like a horseback riding scene?
She was pregnant while she made it. I doubt they'd make her naked.
Why not? Sure. Body double.
Hey, true. But then it wouldn't be the real Madonna. Yeah, the real Miss Chichione.
It'd still be real wood.
That's true.
Chichione.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Save your money and buy us a couple copies of Hustler instead.
All right.
Okay.
Bye.
Nice talking to you, Scott.
It's Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. If you're looking to take out that special someone this weekend or just get drunk with your pals and catch a flick, we're the guys to turn to. It's the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, your full-service infotainment radio talk show.
He didn't mention the American presidents.
Oh, you mean with
Jack Lemmon,
Jack Lemmon and
Brett Maverick.
God.
That should be hilarious.
The Rockford Files? Looks stupid to me.
That should be Jack Lemmon, James Garner!
I never cared for James Garner. I always thought Rockford Files was pretty stupid.
Rockford Files was stupid?
Hey, Scott, call back.
Rockford Files was stupid?
Call him back. Call him back.
Rockford Files was stupid?
Rockford Files was real stupid. It was the stupidest show ever.
Rockford Files was hilarious. If you ever see the one with Isaac Hayes and Lou Gossett Jr. in it...
He's calling us back. It was no A-Team. It was no A-Team.
Well, see, now you're just being silly. You're just showing your ignorance. Because Rockford Files was a highly sophisticated police action private eye drama. A-Team was just blowing up shit.
We'll be right back, Chris and Rob.
Oh, hold on. I heard this here today.
What?
The A-Team goes into this redneck bar, and guess who's playing there?
Hank.
No.
Who?
You want to guess?
Whalen?
No. Redneck bar.
Buck Owens?
Culture Club.
Okay.
So Culture Club's playing at this redneck bar, and someone says, like, face, or somebody says, wow, what in the world is Culture Club doing in here? And Mr. T says, hey, they're good, I really liked him a lot. Hit play. I really liked him a lot.
Is that for real? First I thought you were going to tell me a joke or something.
No, I'm telling you the truth.
You really saw that on cable or something?
Mr. T said, I like Culture Club a lot. I really like him a lot. Culture Club played a redneck bar for the A-Team.
Is Turner rerunning A-Team now? Who's rerunning A-Team?
I think it's like Nick. Or
Nick at Night?
Or Nick has a weekend...
Was it the
where they'll show their other cable channel. It won't be Nick. It'll be their other cable channel. I think it was on.
Hey, stand by. The B-Boys Underground are coming up, and you won't want to miss that.
I really like them a lot.
Right? Enormous.